At 1:36. In attendance is, George is right there, yes. We have a quorum. In attendance is Councilwoman Retta, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Smiley, myself, Councilman Street, and Councilman Tackett. So with that, you have approval for the minutes?
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. We're going to start off with, we're going to switch things up at number four to number three. Now, for the people that doesn't have the agenda, we're going to have the presentation about the proposed reduction of capital recovery fees first, and let the record be known, Councilman Bell has joined us. And then we'll go to the update on the stormwater utility issues that's facing this county afterwards. But at this time, we'll start off with the proposed recovery of capital fees.
Hi, Tracy Searles, Special Services Department. A lot of S's in that, which is in my best letter. As council is aware, the county recently reduced its capital recovery fee for sewer service below the canal from approximately $12,800 per single family home to $9,815 per single family home. The new fee will also have an annual escalation rate of either 3% or the CPI, whichever is less, compared to the previous rate of 4.5%. And I just want to make sure it's clear, because I've seen it back and forth a little bit in some of the articles, this is a capital recovery fee. It is not an impact fee. That code change was made, I think, in 2006, so that all sewer upfront costs are covered through a capital recovery fee. So this will not affect fire impact fees, parks, libraries. We're just talking about capital recovery fees. So what enabled the county to make this adjustment is a change in the capital plan for the area below the canal and some changes in demand, frankly, since the fee was calculated in 2006. As I think you all know, our flows have been going to Middletown for treatment from the central core. The county's going to build a force main to take those flows to water farm number one. We're actually in the process of awarding a contract for that force main right now, and it should be operational within a year by next September. And what this allowed us to do is currently about two-thirds of what we collect is really going to Middletown to pay them for treatment. So now the county will retain that money, and we're also not looking at other large infrastructure expenses that were contemplated in 2006. So the fee is based on the change in the capital program. This is consistent with really the county's practice and even the code mandate. By Chapter 38 of the County Code, the Department of Special Services maintains capital recovery fees, and we update them as necessary to reflect changes in the capital program. We do this both above and below the canal. Above the canal, we have probably about 20 different districts, and when the capital program changes to increase capacity, we update those and we keep maps that are open for the public to see. So this is consistent with that practice. And really, anytime we change the capital program, we should be reviewing these fees because we need to cover our costs adequately, but we're not supposed to have any kind of profit factor built in as a government. So, and the hope is that by reducing these fees, we're going to put more money into the local economy, which is something that I know is desperately needed right now. So, here to answer any questions.
I see Councilman Smiley first.
Yeah, let's just clarify some things that came up before when you weren't here. So the term capital recovery and impact, those terms are not interchangeable.
Yeah.
They were never merged to fall under one name of capital recovery. They are two separate and distinct fees.
They are. And there is currently, I think what happened, the confusion's understandable. The county historically recovered the cost through capital recovery fees north and south of the canal. In 2000, with the UDC, impact fees overall were introduced for libraries, parks, and other services that support new development. And at that time, it was decided to create a sewer impact fee only for below the canal to fund what was seen as kind of the largest new sewer system the county had really ever built. And so even after the UDC, we had capital recovery fees above the canal and sewer impact fees below, both of them kind of serving the same function. So in 2006, when the fee below the canal was updated, the reference in the code to a sewer impact fee was also taken out so that below the canal would be handled consistent with above. So just to be clear, there are no sewer impact fees whatsoever any longer in the county.
And moving forward with my one sort of clarification, you're comfortable that with the fee we're establishing and the percentage increase, the process for increased CPI was 300%, understanding we can adjust that as needed, you're comfortable that will cover our fees?
Yes, and the department worked with finance on looking at its capital plan and what would be needed to cover its costs, because that's their area of expertise. We worked with them in looking at the fee, and we are comfortable.
And we're including these new fees that we're going to incur for the new station that we're going to build and everything else. That's
it's
all
about $2 million.
A part of the formula.
It is. The $2 million, $2 million is what the force main is going to cost roughly. That is part of the formula. The formula includes studying and possible expansions over the next 20 years to Water Farm 1. So it does project out. Special services looked at what we believe would be necessary over the next 20 years as far as expenditures, and then finance took that and said, okay, this is what we need to cover our costs, and this is the appropriate escalation rate. So I think one of the things that has changed in addition to pulling our flows from Middletown is really demand. We're estimating right now about 200 units per year. I think back in 2005 or so, we were looking at a lot more, which also meant spending a lot more to treat that. I think, you know, Water Farm 2 at the time was $50 or $60 million. So we're looking at a very different 20-year projection.
But that could change if we get that new prison down there. So that would help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, for the big question, can you just reiterate to us why it is that you're comfortable or that council did not have to approve this change in structure?
Yes. The state code, with respect to the department and its sewer responsibilities, the state code gives us very broad authority and actually says anything that council, you know, so approved through ordinance or otherwise, give that authority to the department. In Chapter 38 of the code, it specifically states that the Department of Special Services shall maintain and administer the capital recovery fee to recoup capital costs, and it's even as specific in the code as to say that we maintain a map that keeps the costs updated and that is available to the public.
Okay. And in closing, I'll just open November as I closed October. For the month, I'm apologizing if I offend anyone in advance. That's it.
Housekeeping, Council President Bullock here and Council Pro Temp Hollins has joined us. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, I'm sorry, I had to grab something. I came in just a little bit late, but you mentioned something we were doing that would save us costs where we were currently doing something in with Middletown.
Currently, we are sending our flows from the central core to Middletown. And then as we do that, we pay Middletown a capital recovery fee. We are now building a force main that will take the flows from the central core and send them to Water Farm 1. It'll shoot straight across to tie into a connection coming down to Water Farm number 1. By doing so, we still have considerable capacity, over half. We're utilizing less than half of the capacity of Water Farm 1. So by doing that, we keep 100% of the fees that we're collecting from others, and we're servicing it at our own treatment plant.
And was this the $2 million you talked about? It's going to that will cost
the force
us.
Main. Mm-hmm.
Have and I know I miss a lot of these meetings, but have we been given an update on that, or could you send me a little map showing that or anything? Do you have that? Or
absolutely. I don't have the map on me. I'm trying to think. The map I have, I don't think shows it, but I'd be happy to. I can even email council. I have
maybe they have
it illustrated on a map if you would be interested in that.
Yeah, somewhat of it.
Okay.
And so that'll save us from putting in there. Now, what about the land that we had planned on Water Farm 2 and all? Is that just now? Are we going to need it anymore?
The county's going to need it at some point in the future. We just typically you calculate capital recovery fees on a 20-year time frame. At 20 years plus, we will absolutely need that property. There is a chance, particularly if growth changes, that we could need it sooner than that. But it's absolutely something we're going to need to fully service, you know, the area as it expands. But I don't think that's going to happen for some time. I think we're taking advantage a little bit of the slowdown in growth because we don't have to build as much infrastructure as was as soon as we initially had anticipated.
That's probably too on the assumption that technology doesn't change that allow you to utilize smaller areas.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Right? Capacity, I don't know. Okay, so you can send that. And what's the timeline on that? How soon do you think when is the project going to get started?
We are awarding the contract right now.
Awarding it?
Awarding it, yes. Oh. It's been bid. We have a little bidder. We're in the process of going through the award process, and it should be completed by September, October of next year. So 1 year from now, roughly.
Completed. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Councilman Street.
Changing the cost from $12,000 to $9,000 tied to the sewer below the canal. What's the current cost above the canal?
Above the canal, I explained there are approximately 20 districts. It ranges from $750 for a single family home to approximately $4,500 for a single family home. The infrastructure above the canal, a lot of it initially was funded through federal grants in the 70s. So you see much lower fees above the canal.
Well, you've indicated the department has authority to do what it wants to do. And, you know, I said this before, maybe it's just me, I don't understand. But I don't know how we justify $9,000 to drop $200-$300 worth of PVC in the ground and tie into a sewer. It's just sending the price of houses up unnecessarily. So I just don't get it.
We do have cost estimates. There's costs that have already gone into the sewer, you know, below the canal, and there's future costs over 20 years. And we can break that out. I'm happy to sit down with you. But it's more than just that price, and we can certainly go through that. I think if we could get it lower, nobody would object to that. So we have tied it to our costs.
I'm done. I can win the fight anyway.
Councilman Powers has joined us. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to kind of build on what Councilman Street had said, you know, it was 12,000. Now we're down to 9,000. It's still 4,500 above the canal. So, I mean, there's no one below the canal that would love to have sewer that wouldn't also love to have the same fee structure as north of the canal. But, you know, I think what's being explained is as far as the infrastructure, what it costs to get it all in place and up and running and everything. But, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to argue with the reduction this time around. But certainly there's still some disparity overall in the future with residents in the southern part of the county and the northern part of the county. So I would hope that at some point we'd be able to kind of bring that down a little bit more to make it more economically feasible for folks to hook up to the sewer.
Anybody else on the subject? Going once, going twice. All right, thank you very much, Tracy.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
We've had a lot of flooding issues, as everybody knows, because of the onset of rains and so forth at bad times. So So we have to do the stormwater utility issues at this time, the town will do special services for that.
Technical assistance, making adjustments to the screen.
Wish you'd make an adjustment, give her that horse I gotta look at. Put a bark park up there.
Guess we're getting the screen together.
She remember I used to write money down. I was right.
Guess we're getting the screen together. Let me just give you a little background. Just get ahead of the PowerPoint here. Anybody that doesn't recall Floyd in 1999, about 10 inches of rain came to Newcastle County. Glenville was not the first time we suffered flooding. There was a significant flooding issue place in Glenville. We'll go to 2003 and 2004. Tropical storm Henri and Isabel. Henri happened first week of September. We had 9 inches of rain in Hokies. We had 10 inches of rain in Kennett Square.
It's really hot in here.
All of that water made its way down the Red Clay to Glenville again. Again, Glenville, among others, I mean many other developments, were devastated by that. Approximately 2 weeks later, tropical storm Isabel. And that one, keep in mind, the ground was fairly saturated at that point.
They turn a lot of problems if they turn it down. I want to be included in our meeting. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Good.
It's good.
Okay, we're going to a patch. I love it, Pike.
Doors.
That's horsing.
Anyhow, yeah, 3.5 inches of rain in Hokies in 3.5 hours. That's
and
a lot of
horse floated away.
Oh, good.
All the shit being stolen for scrap and they can't get that horse out of there.
It's too heavy.
Tracy did that. I want to make sure everybody gets full credit.
Tow truck.
Tracy.
Tow
truck. I was totally impressed.
Very cute.
We got around the patch. Okay, very good. Okay. That's 2004. Then Gene comes along in 2004. At 6 inches of rain in parts of Newcastle County, and again, Glenville, Glendale, Marmony Woods, many other developments. Rutherford suffered significant flooding. 2004, two members of council. Anybody still here?
Kirkwood.
2004?
We were all here.
The class of 2004. The class of 2004.
I wasn't here.
Right.
I was alive. I was in the area.
Okay.
He was just graduating in 2004.
But he knew when that was a farm.
From the city.
Probably.
Newcastle County and Del Dot spent over $30 million buying out 171 homes in Glenville. Spillover effect because of all the devastation took place beyond Glenville. Newcastle County Council and the administration supported funding $17 million projects, and projects to deal with not only the flooding issues, we also ended up buying some more houses. 2005, Governor Minner and the state established a surface water management task force, and at that time, I believe David Singer was the CAO, and he became the county's representative for that.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim. It's on.
And you'll wonder why I won't go to an iPad.
the iPad would work.
But I can't see it.
Okay. 2006, Castle County Council passed a resolution.
What do you expect, Water Street?
They float. Water Street, how appropriate.
Got water in the system.
They float.
2006, the Castle County Council passed a resolution calling for recommendations on the Newcastle County Stormwater Program, and council requested recommendations on financing of the program, structure, legal responsibilities, roles of the municipalities, and public involvement.
Do we ever get that?
I don't know.
Clark and I went to three meetings.
As a result, Newcastle County, with funding assistance from the state of Delaware, initiated the study of stormwater services within the county to evaluate, analyze, and understand the services in place at that time, the organizations engaged in providing those services, the impact of federally mandated water quality permit compliance strategies, and the identification of needed changes in service and the appropriate funding methods to meet and address these service expectations. The study provided a means for county staff,
that's what I share,
elected officials, what other government agencies, and citizens to provide input into the analysis of service for drainage management and water quality. By identifying service expectations, appropriate organizational roles, potential gaps in service, and potential funding methods to ensure a long-term stable program. AMIC, which is an international engineering consulting firm, was hired to assist Newcastle County in this venture. A stormwater focus group made up of citizens, elected officials. In fact, at the time, the two co-chairs of special services, Bill Tansey and John Cartier, were key members of the stormwater focus group. We had school officials, business persons, and state and county employees that were, who were involved in stormwater issues. Met on two occasions specifically, but there were many other meetings that took place, internal meetings, to deal with these issues. The study consisted of five major components referred to as tracks. These tracks were governance, stakeholder outreach, programs, finances, and database. The initial activities consisted of data gathering on stormwater needs and services provided, not only by Newcastle County, but by all organizations and jurisdictions with a role in managing stormwater runoff within the geographical area of the county. This information was gathered through interviews, scenarios, analysis, workshops, and consultation meetings. And these discussions addressed the identification of current stormwater-related services provided and by whom, identification of key needs and issues of the local and regional stormwater programs, a review and analysis of regulatory requirements, estimates of current and anticipated future program costs, analysis of potential funding components and characteristics, public involvement in their planning, and data analysis on geospatial information regarding the generation of runoff through impervious cover. Most of the financial and programmatic analysis done for the study was conducted from 2006 to 2008. It's based on data from that same time period. Any future actions resulting from the project to address long-term stormwater program development and funding will require an update or require an updating of the financial and program structures due to the length of time of this study from 2006 to 2012. Considerable analysis was completed on the governance structure for stormwater services within the county. It was apparent that the county government was only one player in the arena of stormwater service and delivery and funding in Newcastle County. Within the limits of state statute and granted authority, the county addresses stormwater services within those authorized areas of responsibility. Other key organizations included are DELDA, DENREC, and the Newcastle Conservation District. In addition, the county was only one of the co-permittees for the 2003 issued NPDES program, along with all the towns within the county except for Newark and with Delta. Identification of the complexity of the governance for the control and management of stormwater led to the recognition that these parties can best serve the citizens of the county through intergovernmental agreements that would set forth expectations and responsibilities for service delivery. This gives you a sense of all the people, all the organizations that have some impact on Stonebrook. Obviously, the dark blue, Newcastle County, and then when I say Newcastle County, it's not just special services, it's also land use. Land use is a big element, particularly in permitting issues and inspections. DelDOT, DENREC, various organizations within DENREC participate in the stormwater issues. And as I call them, the free safeties in this whole process is Newcastle Conservation District. When something slips through and it's unable to be addressed by the other agencies, the Conservation District becomes the group that keeps them from scoring. Delaware Agriculture, Delaware Emergency Management, Delaware Geological Survey, Water Resources, DNS, Delaware Estuary, these are all other entities which participate in this process. Again, while all these groups play a role in stormwater services to the county, there are four agencies in dark blue that provide the bulk of services across the geographical area that is Newcastle County. Each of these four organizations has an important role established through statute and delegated authority to serve the communities within the county. To ensure effectiveness of the coordination effort to meet the needs and expectations of the citizens, documentations of roles and responsibilities and a negotiated agreement on service levels of funding is an important step in this process. Governance track, stormwater responsibilities in geographical Newcastle County is split, as I said. Stormwater funding in geographical Newcastle County varies year to year, and that's specifically due to the number of entities, but the competition for dollars within those entities. I wish the Councilman Cartier was here, because he vividly recalls discussions we had, concerns he had about the ability of DelDOT on certain years to participate to the level that he believed they would should be able to contribute. The current time, Newcastle County government should focus its stormwater programs and special services, utilize interlocal agreements to define stormwater responsibilities throughout Newcastle County. The legal obligations that are required of Newcastle County by the NPDES permit require us to be in compliance with the state sediment and stormwater program. TMDL, total maximum daily load compliance, and various responsibilities to improve water quality, including inspection and compliance for stormwater management facilities, monitoring for illicit discharges in watershed studies and retrofits, and public education. Additionally, the county code is very specific. The county must keep all non-tidal waterways open and free flowing. And I think you've heard that every time somebody will call about an issue in the stream. Our requirement is to make sure that the stream is free flowing. Back in the mid-90s, I would say, when Jimmy Hedden was here, and he was in the program at the time, Newcastle County had 40 individuals assigned to drainage. It was a drainage department. Eventually, that drainage department became expanded to 60, but the services within that department changed dramatically. And our drainage responsibilities is only one of many responsibilities. They're responsible for the bypass operations, they're responsible for fixing pipe, they're responsible for our blacktopping operations. So drainage is now handled by theoretically 60 people, but it is an additional duty as opposed to the reason the organization exists. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, if I can, just about code issues, and this ties back into how we ended up spending $17 million for projects, and actually the $15 million that we contributed towards a $30 million for the Lumber Alliance. And that is what is Section 1207.01 under Drainage Improvements by Newcastle County. Improvements to public and communal workforce drainage systems and stormwater management basins shall be mm-hmm. to protect persons and property from serious harm and significant damage from flooding caused by storms of up to 100-year frequency. The language that says in the code, improvements to public and communal water courses, drainage systems, and stormwater management basins by Newcastle County shall only be made. Okay, so it doesn't say it has to be, but it says shall only be made with the following criteria. It's to protect persons and property from serious harm and significant damage from flooding caused by storms up to 100 years. Protect dwellings and attached buildings from structural damage. To eliminate public health hazards. Part B of that section is inundation of yards and or periodic basement flooding are not considered significant damage. Ponding and or failure of a lot to drain is not the responsibility of the county. Now, the stakeholder outreach trap. Stakeholders' participation is generally recommended as an important component in developing a stormwater program, identifying sustainable financing options. Two stakeholder meetings took place that were both well attended. And in these stakeholder meetings, the following areas were discussed. Planning and design. And in planning design, that was the developing of master plans and managing stormwater on a watershed basis. We've talked about it before. Frequently, an individual will have a problem along a stream or within a stormwater basin. And it becomes a situation where the person who screams the loudest will get the results that they want. That doesn't mean that that was the best place the money could have been spent to have resolved the problem. It could have been at the very top of the watershed. You could have spent the same or less that may have had an effect on not just that one property, but other properties down the line. So that, the recognition of the Stormwater Focus Group, and one of the things I still recall vividly about that group, there were two thought processes. There were those individuals who were government employees who were dealing with stormwater problems, and then there were the citizens. And the citizens, some of those were individuals who had been flooded, some had not been flooded. And the elected officials, their perception of a stormwater utility, if that's where we were heading, was that it seemed to be much more focused on flooding issues. Not that that wasn't a concern for the government employees, but the government employees knew that the requirements being put on us by the federal government and the water quality issues had a major cost factor involved and had to be taken into consideration along with the flooding issues. Second issue, management and coordination. And this is really, who do we call? If you have a problem, who do you end up calling? That was one of the things I think that really was a generator of the discussion of the concept of the stormwater utility. Because we will get calls, obviously, from our county council. We'll get calls from state senators. We'll get calls from the state representatives. Everybody's trying to figure how this problem fits in to the responsibilities of the various entities. And that has always been a concern. And Councilwoman Kilpatrick, probably more than anybody else at this table, I've been to meetings where if it's a drainage issue, there's going to be four or five agencies there. Sometimes it crosses all of those boundaries.
Need all that.
Developing regulations. Both the government employees and citizens were concerned about making sure that we develop equitable, consistent, realistic regulations. Water quality was another area we looked at. Funding equity. Developing a strong financial base with equitable funding approach for all program needs with incentives for sound practices. In other words, some sort of rebate system for those people and those entities that do something, particularly for water quality issues, that are willing to deal with water quality and save the government money. Maintenance of stormwater systems. Ensure adequate maintenance of public and private water courses and stormwater management facilities. Flooding issues, to proactively mitigate flooding. And last but not least, particularly for water quality issues, is public education.
So any questions so far while we got a break in a moment?
Have to get some of that over the rock bottom.
Public then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where is that?
I got a question.
Sure.
Popcorn. Several months, maybe even a year ago, the administration, in conjunction with a study group, were trying to finalize getting Chapter 12 approved. Has that ever happened, or have we ever finalized that chapter or that part of the drainage code?
I wish my land use friends were here. Unless Mary Ann can give me an update on that.
No, Mary Ann's out of Essential Services. I'm not aware of where that stands. No. We can find out and get back to you.
Okay. And just a follow-up, if I could. And how the external watersheds impact in Newcastle County. I remember that one where it was sunny out that day in Stanton, and it flooded the whole area out, and it was because of the watershed that was up in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
It's the same.
How much
watershed
of that is taken into consideration when we're talking these respective programs?
Right down the
Is there any way that we that interact with them?
Your point is well taken, and I remember that day vividly also. Where a bright sunny day, but they had a major storm
exactly up in
north of the Delaware line up the Jasper area.
Right. So is there a point to this?
Which one?
It's all part of the discussion.
Like,
I mean, there's no way in the world, but there's
like,
no way, there's no system that currently exists that deals with bonnet issues. There are ways to deal with the quality issues. There's discussions going on the quantity issues.
So our special service department is involved with the outside of Delaware, I guess, like Kennett Square areas to discuss those types of issues?
Particularly on quality.
Okay.
Particularly on quality issues.
Thank you.
I mean, those cross the boundary lines. The quantity issues become much more
important. Yeah, we want to get flooded by clean water.
Thank you.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Wayne, I think one of the major issues that we have is, you know, technically, I guess there's no watchdog over a lot of these problems, and many of these situations that we have are created inadvertently and unknowingly by a lot of homeowners who place things, you know, in the swales and the drainage ways, and it ends up backing up on the neighbors before them. And they're, like you said, you know, here, with you, and you wished your land use friends were here, and they will be in about 45 minutes. But things fall in even different departments, even within, you know, our same county. And when we go out to look at a lot of these things, you know, they're doing final inspections on whatever stormwater over there. But yet you guys are, you know, now you're going to do the inspection. You know, it's just so much all over the place. And many times when we come over there, you know, we've had an issue that actually is pretty major that happens, although it's not a proliferant violation, I guess, is where homeowners are, they're trying to fix their property and they end up bringing in dirt to fill up their property and fix it, but now they flooded four other property owners, you know, and they're, you know, so you're well aware what I'm talking about. I could tell
well,
by your face.
I deal specifically with that. I was looking for it. Article 6, Stormwater Management Facilities and Water Course Maintenance, under 1206.1 responsibilities, you get down to sub G. Resolution of drainage concerns created by a change in grade by a property owner to the detriment of an adjacent property owner is not the responsibility of Newcastle County.
It's a civil right.
And really?
Are you done, Ms. Taggart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to answer, because I get a lot of them where they're filled in that aren't in a subdivision. The only course most people have is to sue their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And the state law doesn't say you can't fill in a ditch. Unless it's a tax ditch, which you're almost better if it is a tax ditch because then you can maintain it. But if it's a public ditch, your neighbor fills you in, you got nothing but to sue your neighbor. And it's hard because they come to the, they call my office probably all their.
Or fill in to send it to the next neighbor.
Yeah. but it's.
That's my.
Well, the thing is, they fill it in, it backs up on somebody. But they're really. Isn't any state recourse. I mean, there's nothing in the law to really, you know, now if it's in a subdivision, we can stop it once we divide it, you know, from drainage.
But you take all my old communities, those swales have disappeared years ago.
Yeah, and see, that's, you're falling under the same as some of the ones I have. You know, it's a lot easier in these new subdivisions to take care of drainage problems than it is if you don't have them.
Councilman Bell and then Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So basically what I'm hearing, though, and I've had situations where nothing could be done, and this gets back to whether it's maintenance corporations, whether it's normal citizens with their homes, the old adage is you got to go sue somebody, you got to take them to court, you got to, you know, it's a civil action and everything. It's no damn wonder why people don't like government and don't trust government. What's the fix for things like this? I mean, what do we got to do as a state and a county and Denrec and everybody? What do we have to do to get something in place that will help people, help us help people solve problems? Because it's very discouraging when you get calls, you physically go out there and look, and you know that someone has caused someone else a problem, and their government can't do a darn thing about it. What's the fix? What can be done? Is there anything in God's creation that this government and other governments can do to help alleviate this problem?
Can we loop back to that at the very end?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have an answer, but can we loop back to it?
Yeah. No, I mean, isn't there something that collectively that government, I mean, whose responsibility is it? And it always ends up in this. You know, it's frustrating.
We will get to that.
Yeah.
The answer may not make anybody happy, but we can get to that. But it's very
interesting.
It's already not happy. I know.
I have Councilman Tackett and Councilman Smiley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, and Wayne, the biggest problem is, too, is the majority of these issues are not isolated in the small little pockets. It's an overall puzzle that has to be put together, and we go out there and we try to piecemeal one little piece at a time, and what happens is we fix this little area, but all we're doing is sending the water faster to that area, and now we're flooding them. And the biggest fallacy that has happened here in probably a long time, at least on this issue, but I'm sure there's multiple, is when the state dropped the ball, because they had it. It was an overall issue that affected everybody, and it needed to be fixed statewide. And you shouldn't have all these hands and all these pockets in there, because they all take money. And there, you know, the conservation district, and, you know, you got to pay all this, and you got to pay the administrative costs and all, and it's already here. Should have been one stop. You come in, you fix what you can fix, and the other may be civil or not, but, and we were talking about tax ditches, you know, just regressed really, really fast. I had one. Timmy inherited in Rutherford. Janet was there and worked on it when she was in the state, but those people put sheds in it, fences, gardens, you know, and the problem is unless you have an active working tax ditch association, which
nobody does.
No, but right. Nobody maintains it or watches it, so.
Well, that's another wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Smiley, and then we'll go on.
I just want to briefly respond to Councilman Bell's comment there, right in the room. As far as what government can do for them, well, I finally had one constituent who was honest and above board. You're right, we don't like telling that you got to sue your neighbor. As one of them finally told me, I don't want to sue my neighbor. I want you to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's what can government do? They want government to take the responsibility. They want us. They don't care if the neighbor gets sued to fix the problem. They just don't want to have to go through it. They want the government to do it. Because at the end of the day, we can go knock on the door and cite them all we want. But if they don't want to fix it, the only alternative is to sue them to correct the problem. But yeah, I finally had one constituent who was just straight up front. I don't want to sue my neighbor, but I don't care if you do, as long as it fixes my problem.
All right, we'll come back to this.
No, we don't.
Finish this up.
The good part's going to be the discussion, not the presentation.
Yes, yeah, no, I know.
Well, we should have went to
the water program.
Yes, for Aaron, grab a heart here.
One objective of the study was to capture data on and understand the breadth of stormwater program services and the source of funding for these programs, both those provided directly by the county and by those major agencies involved in providing services and assistance to the citizens. The analysis of current services based on information provided directly by the county was captured in a cost of service model with projections of potential future programs and services to address known and pending drivers for change. In addition, during interviews with each of the other major agencies, DLDOT, Conservation District, and Denrec, data was also gathered on their programs. We developed questionnaires and held meetings to determine existing levels of service for all four of the big four. We did an analysis of the 2001 NPDES MS4 permit, our consent decree with EPA in 2007, their audit report, all the legal requirements that Newcastle County has. Then we developed a summary of the level of service options. When I say level of service, what our current service level was, if we were to improve that, what would that look like and what would the cost be? And if we really wanted to go full bore, what would that cost be? These were just best guesstimates of projects. We developed 5-year cost of service projections based on those 2006 budgets and the 2001 permits. And one of the reasons this whole program took so long, we wanted to have the new permit in place so we could get a sense of cost. As you know, but if you're in government, all the finance people want to get those contracts resolved quickly so they can close it up and move on. This thing stretched out for a long period of time. Finally, we called the card in 2012. We don't get the permit in 2013. I'll talk about some of the costs that are coming out of that. Okay. Finance track. Under the finance track, it became clear that if Newcastle County was to utilize, and you pick the name of it, I hate to use the name stormwater utility fee because that has implications, but let's call it a wet weather fee. The county should consider allocation of stormwater costs on the basis of the presence of imperviousness on properties. Historically, the use of fees to support stormwater management, including water quality permit compliance, maintenance, inspections, engineering, capital improvement, has been to allocate costs to properties that place a burden on the public stormwater system and contribute to the need for a program of compliance to address water quality conditions. There is precedent throughout the United States to use the presence of imperviousness as a basis of allocation for stormwater costs. The approach has been found to have a high degree of rationality between the cost of service and the identification of who should pay for those services. This is usually accomplished by what's called the creation of a base level for a single family residence unit, or what they call is an equivalent residential unit. It's based upon the impervious cover of the average single family unit. If you have a townhouse, that could be a half of an ERU. But you take that ERU and then you multiply that based upon the impervious cover that you can find in parking lots, in malls, in industries, and other commercial facilities. What took about a third of the time and money was to get together with our friends at Land Use. I'll give a great deal of credit to Pat Soucy, who's a GIS guru and an IS guru. And we developed impervious through Pat and others in Land Use, developed impervious cover definitions and parcel classification process. They digitized impervious areas of parcels, not already digitized, there were about 8,000 parcels they had to create. They developed methodology for the county to estimate impervious cover costs on data that we had from 2002 at the time aerials. They established a range for an equivalent residential unit, and that range average was 3,080 square feet. Developed table listing parcels on impervious cover, number of building units were identified. We developed impervious data sets for all the non-single family residential development parcels. Let me touch on one other issue. We talked about trying to get some cost numbers. Bill Powers knows the answer to this one. How many watersheds are there in Newcastle County?
I don't remember.
How many you think they are?
None.
I could start from the bottom up. Question and I had to call.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to be right now when they have the Chesapeake. Honestly, the Chesapeake in this county is probably 3 or 4 itself. They're not, but they put it all as one.
There are in Newcastle County 21 watersheds. Now this document is a form, it's Newcastle County, DelDOT, Stormwater, SWPP, and MPA, but it's the Water Quality Improvement Priority Listing. This year, within the year, we must submit a plan to DENREC as to the order in which Newcastle County intends to address each of these watersheds. And it's just for water quality. It is not about an ounce of flare at all. It's about water quality. There may be some improvements that will happen in quantity, but it'll be by luck. It won't be the beginning. It's all about quality. The estimate for retrofitting a cost per acre for capital projects is about $100,000 per acre. If you take the acreage in those 21 watersheds, that cost comes out about $130.4 million conceivably at some time. We're not going to say how long it's going to take. Now, the good news is we split this with DelDOT, and then there'll be a further splitting depending upon what municipalities may be in the watersheds. Those are the kind of numbers we're talking about, and that's just water quality. It's not talking about quantity issues. What's the conclusion? Newcastle County is committed to meeting all of its legal stormwater responsibilities. We have no option. The structure of Newcastle County stormwater program should remain as is within the Special Services Department, taking the leads. And unfortunately, Mike Harris, who's doing this right now with us, has another meeting on this very issue with Denrec. Newcastle County will enter into agreements, and we're in the process of doing it as we speak, with municipalities to streamline stormwater responsibilities. I think Mike has been in our consultant have been in at least three meetings I'm aware of with various municipalities, so we're trying to structure everybody's responsibility for stormwater. Newcastle County will focus on funding current legal requirements for a more holistic approach, which require greater buy-in, and funding from other agencies. So when we're sitting around the table, we're trying to get others to be willing for them, A, to recognize what their legal responsibilities are as part of their co-permittees, and encouraging them to belly up to the table with the dollars. Newcastle County will increase funding as necessary to ensure compliance with the NIFTIS permit. We don't have an option. It's one thing about the federal government. They tell you what they want, and then you have a little bit. Open to questions, and back to Councilman Bell's question. How do we do it? Well, if you change the code, it says that we can't do it, we could do it. Here's the danger of this. And I say this because various administrations and people within the administration have been supportive of stormwater utility concept. I think it's one of those things, you got to think, well, geez, we got to do something better than what we're doing. A stormwater utility sounds good. Went down to Charlotte, Mecklenburg at the beginning of this project, and it was like going to Disney World of stormwater utilities. They had the responsibilities. They had a bad experience years before they got their act together. They had full responsibility for the city of Charlotte, obviously, and the county of Mecklenburg. But they were dealing with holistically plans at the top of the watershed. They were buying land down at the bottom of the watershed. Okay, they really made a commitment to do this. That was great. But why do we have the gaps? Nobody wants to expand beyond those gaps. And the reason you don't, because it's going to cost you money. Pure and simply, that's it. If you think about it, and I say this with great pride, I spent 25 years with county police. And they are, let me tell you, I've been around the country. You'd have to go around the country, because I did a lot of accreditation, to see what you get for your dollar with Newcastle County Police. But the reality was, up until Newcastle County Council started in 67, there were only 22 county police officers. There was a conscious decision to expand the county police, to expand the services in policing. Because the county didn't have to do that. State police was after that. I don't say anything bad about state police. Great organization also. But a conscious decision was to expand how citizens of this county got policing service. That takes over 50% of your budget now.
63.
Now, if anybody wants to expand on drainage issues, there's a reason the state of Delaware gave us $500,000 to do this project in my mind. They wanted us to take it. And when you take it and you start collecting fees from people, they're going to be calling the councilman because they're paying a stormwater fee. They're paying a wet weather fee. It's that simple. And they're going to expect some service over and above what they're now getting. We're just the public servants. We don't make the law. We try to enforce it the best we can.
Councilman Powers?
the $500,000, where is, maybe this is to Mike, where is that money coming from?
It came from the state.
State?
It's from the state.
I mean, not Mike, I meant with...
Tony?
Tony, sorry, Tony.
Tony's got it. Tony Michael, that's it.
Yeah, Tony. Because there was money through the EPA that's been going $2 million a year for years. What was it, a 305B or something? That they applied, and what I heard, they were supposed to be cleaning up watersheds, never cleaned one, just collected $2 million a year for the past how many years, and now all of a sudden they're giving it to us? Now, is it still the $500,000 that we could have applied for to begin with?
That half a million I was talking about was in the beginning of the program where we ended up...
Well, so they've cut off all the money. They've gotten a heck of a lot of money. And that was one thing under the, you know, what I was Farm Bureau president, county president, was at the time they were getting $2 million, everything was impaired by drive-bys so they could collect the money. And then they weren't cleaning anything up. And I think EPA finally said, you're not cleaning anything. So I don't know whatever happened to those monies. I just think DENREC dropped the ball and never did anything. And now they're passing the buck. And they got a lot of money to do it. How long ago it was is when Nancy Goggins was there. That's how many years, and they were getting it probably 6 years ago, so.
Councilwoman Kirkpatrick?
That's right. Waste of money.
Thanks. The $500,000 that you talked about was the one-time money that we got after the task force.
Correct.
Because in the task force, they sat there and they wanted to develop, some people wanted to develop a statewide stormwater utility. Obviously, the bottom two counties opted out. They wanted nothing to do with it because they don't have water issues, mm-hmm. according
there
to them.
There was money there.
So,
we
were the only ones, Newcastle County was the only one that said that they would study it and look into it. So you got seed money, basically, to do that. There's never been any bottom line conclusion, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's never been a bottom line conclusion to say, yes, we will do or we won't do a stormwater utility. It just got to a certain point and then kind of got shelved, sat there because there was no clear direction. So beyond that task force, it was my understanding that on a annual, semi-annual, every 3 years, whatever it is, that the state would allocate funding to study a watershed, and that we've done the Appoquinimic watershed, and we are now on the second watershed, or we did White Clay?
A portion of White Clay?
Because the
Inland Bays has been the biggest one.
We did some sort of White Clay study, or somebody did, because DelDOT, at one point, meaning. When I was with the state, said that they would be willing, if we would sit down as a county with them, and say, this is what
see,
the study said, anything that was within their jurisdiction,
they got other watersheds,
like under bridges, they would start proactively putting into their budget so that they would get that done, but did not want to do that without a coordinated effort because they didn't want to send more water downstream if they cleared out under their bridges without the rest of the municipalities, including the county, doing what they wanted. So then when I came here, all of a sudden I realized, and I didn't realize that, and I don't know how many did, that within our sewer fund, we have drainage money. I don't know that I have a clear understanding of what that drainage money is used for, or how much of the annual bills that we get goes towards that. Is there a percentage that goes towards that?
So I'll defer to finance on that. Percentage
issue. Ed Mulligan with finance, roughly, I don't have a percentage for it, but $7-8 million of the sewer fund budget goes toward drainage, whether it be for debt service or a drainage project or for operating costs for the crews. You know.
So on an annual basis, $7 to $8 million or so goes from the sewer fee over
within the drainage line within the sewer fee. Exactly.
And is used for
what's the operations?
Permitting, land use, all the various functions. What's anything that touches how much is a stormwater issue?
Stormwater pond, the pond.
Pond maintenance, the whole fund.
So how much is in the fund now?
It's not a fund. It's all part of the sewer budget.
But is it, do we use...
The sewer budget's $70 million. And within that sewer budget is the drainage operations.
Okay, so like 10%?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and do we spend all of that in a year?
Well, if it's capital, it keeps it all going, so it finally does get spent down, and the operating costs, I'm sure they don't need any more money, they always want more money, but I'm sure they use everything they get, because they have so many projects, as far as the work to get done.
There's projects because of the permits.
It can be towards the permits.
It's not... So that is used to work towards your compliance with the EPA for your permits for the amnesty program, stormwater management program?
Anywhere
that
we have
money
to do.
Go through, yep. For the ponds on there?
Yep.
Okay. And that's all determined by?
Basis of need, usually.
Okay.
Ponds.
Okay.
You take those that need to work the quickest, you move them to the front list.
So basically...
And just... Give credit to the state, obviously, and you're fully aware of that. I mean, we got almost $10 million
right.
At the very beginning of the program from the state to help
right.
because there were so many ponds around us.
Right.
It was over
right.
3 years.
And I understand that.
And it'll equal 9.5.
It was okay.
Councilwoman Diller and then Councilman Tank.
Two things. I sat in on the discussions with the City of Newark on their proposed stormwater utility fund. From what I could see, the major flaw in the proposal, in the eyes of the citizens who attended those meetings, was the fact that it was rolled into the sewer fund. It was not kept separate. And so the reaction of people was not negative toward the idea of a stormwater utility, it was negative to the fact that it was going to be rolled into the sewer fund and not kept specifically for stormwater. So that kind of died and it never went anywhere. And I think that that's a lesson if we decide to move in this direction that we ought to consider. I mean, I watched that happen, and the fact that they wanted to keep it in the sewer fund, people were not happy with that. The other thing is, I think that it is fallacious to think that we cannot deal with this water issue. The problem is the will to deal with the water issue. I mean, if you look at the whole country of the Netherlands, they've got consulting firms out all over the world. They're in New York City now trying to help them deal with the water issue. But there were very hard decisions that were made. They were very expensive. I mean, you know, the Netherlands, they moved whole communities out of the way of, you know, of the sea. And so it's not that you can't do it, it's just that you have to decide to do it. And I really think that, you know, if the lower two counties, I forget who said this, think they have no water problem, you know,
right.
That's fine with me. But I can tell you the last couple, you know, if we are going to get these increasingly concentrated storms, whether because it's climate change or something is just happening in the atmosphere, I don't know. But I've got communities where there is real danger in the amount of water that they're dealing with. So at some point, I don't know about anybody else, but I think we better just bite the bullet and start talking about this seriously.
Councilman Taggart's next.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Wayne, that was probably one of the best presentations I've heard or seen in a long time. I know you worked a really long time on this to fine-tune that to be able to present it to us today. You know, and actually you ended with with the perfect analogy. So, but I'll tell you, you know, Janet, you know, mentioned a lot about you know, the funding and where we get it, and we're going to, you know, clean out these underpasses and bridges and stuff, trying to get it, and all that does is move water faster. And the state has some cockamamie way of, they don't actually calculate, like, the flooding, but they calculate it on how fast the water's moving. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, people don't care how fast the water's in their yards or their living rooms. They're upset it's there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, that, right, that's the reality.
I mean, it's funny. Not funny, it's just reality. Other than this year, we haven't had an awful lot of rain, and I had not gotten many calls. And this year, you know, I wasn't surprised that we're spending this afternoon talking about stormwater utilities in June when I was thinking about how much rain we were getting. When it's in front of everybody, it becomes a big issue, and then life goes on and it stops raining, and there are other priorities. So it's all about establishing priorities. And back to Councilman Miller, I mean, that was the thing I found out Charlotte Meckleburg was so impressive. When they made a commitment, and it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
They had beautiful parks at the bottom of the watershed.
Right.
You know, they bought out development. You know, similar to Glenville's, they just bought out developments.
Yeah.
And what they did was, when they did their watershed studies, they looked at what the maximum impervious cover was going to be in that county, and then they had a sense of what they had to do downstream. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of money to do that.
And Wayne, as you said, the weather patterns dictate a lot of the movement in governments. I mean, when I was in, you know, in the communities, like in the late 90s, working, you know, in the civic groups and all, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to get water into the communities because we were in a dry spell. But upon, you know, coming into council, you know, and just before that, we had to change direction and figure out how to get the water out of the communities. So, and we're back kind of that as we hit this year again. So you hit dry times, takes a back burner, and I guess you store the money up. You know, as soon as you hit these wet times, it becomes a reality and shows that we don't have adequate controls there.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thanks. Two things. I think, you know, going back to Councilwoman Diller's statement, you know, you have the communities, and Westminster comes to mind, where thousands of the 17 million, thousands and thousands of dollars and time and effort was put into studying and communicating with these people. The further out we got from the event, the less willing they were. So by the time you then put $50,000, $75,000 into all the front end, then you go to do the project, and they're not going to give you trespass agreements because now it hasn't rained in 8 months. You know, so you've got some of the studies, you know what needs to be done, but everything that we do is piecemeal. You know, some of this needs to be coordinated with land use. If we had the top of the watershed and the bottom of the watershed, and the flow of water is a big thing, because people aren't understanding that if you flow it out faster from the top, you've got somebody downstream that's going to be more affected because more of it's coming at the same time onto them. If you dam it up so it doesn't flow as fast onto you, then you've got the people upstream that are being more affected. But if we had a study and we had a commitment and we did as they do in wherever you were, then you could say to land use, wait a minute, this is the bottom of the watershed. This is where we know we have to reserve the land to catch the water, or the middle of the watershed, or whatever it is. You know, we went through, and I don't want to throw any rep under the bus here, but we went through times where these elected officials from the state would come out and say, wait a minute, this is a county park. Now you want to lower it 3 feet, but in dry weather it's going to be fine, and your equipment, your play equipment's going to be in here. It will not change anything but the topography a little bit. And they stopped every program that you had when it came through, most of them, tried to stop every program. You go to places like Denver or other areas that have, you know, major water because it's coming off the mountains down onto the lowlands, and they've got signs in their county and state parks that say this is a floodplain area. This county, this park has been lowered X number of feet and will fill before the rest of the land. So it becomes a retention basin basically in a major storm. We just don't seem to be able in this state to make that commitment to say this is what we know needs to be done, and make everybody else work around that. And until we get to that point, we're not going to do anything.
You mentioned the development, where we came across plans, I think Tony may remember this, that were, this was in the 90s, 2000 we're dealing with this, back in the early 70s it had been studied, so there must have been problems there, and the plans were there, but there'd be a willingness to let us have easements.
Right.
So, once you find one, chances are it's going to happen again.
But the commitment, either, I mean, at some point, I would say, I'm going to say you, the department, the county, has to make a decision. Are we going to go forward with this, or are we going to keep it on the shelf and every 3 years somebody's, you know, when we have major events, people are going to come out of the walls and woodwork again and say, wait a minute, why haven't we worked on this? Because this is kind of a periodic cyclical thing, the rain, the drought, and we know.
It's always about the money.
It's always about the money.
Councilor Retta?
That's what I was going to ask you. It all comes down to the dollars and cents.
It does. Give us the money and we'll do whatever you want then.
Right. So where do you get it?
If you get $300,000, I'd sleep under a star.
That'll get you a
study. There are $100,000
apiece. That'll get you a study for something.
That'll get you a study.
Well, we got the study. We can do at least 12 feet. And then they can sleep there when the stars come out.
In the water?
When the stars come out.
Sleep in the
trunks. Love rafts.
Bring their trunks.
Anybody else? Well, this has been an ongoing problem, I can tell you, since I got in here. And you're right, it's going to take a lot of money, and you would need to come to a religious meeting, I'll put it that, with everybody. Del Dot, from the top all the way down, the governor all the way down to the smallest city council person, I guess. Because everybody wants to point fingers, and early, you know, they are happy to say, oh, you can do that, we'll pass laws, but... Del Dot's a big one. I think they were half of the money was going to come from Del Dot if we were included. And they, of course, have asked them. So I think that's what stopped the whole thing. As I was there, and Steve Larimore was my person on there. He happened to be the only one on there afterwards. But also, the other thing is, you know, people, I'm going to say Rutherford, they want to have it. But I'm going to tell you, Limestone Hill is going there and see if they're going to pay an extra $50 a year. I guarantee you, they say no. Why would somebody below the canal really do it? I mean, until they get traffic, there's no flooding. So, thank you, Mr. Ray.
Thank you. Well, I believe Dave brought it up about how different areas, the tax ditch in Rutherford, and the people are throwing it in. And it's the same thing in the municipalities. The watersheds that go down through the municipalities, we have to take care of them. The municipalities, what are they going to contribute? I mean, they get a tax break from us, but yet we have to take care of everything else that goes through there, and basically the water and things of that nature. You know, we're not in different areas like Mecklenburg or Florida or someplace like that where they pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 in taxes. And that's what they take care of. Here, what's the average cost of a tax at home? $400 or $500.
If you don't take school tax into consideration.
So we have to look at that. That's the main thing.
Councilor Street, and then nobody else will end up.
I'm listening to all the discussion today. And a whole lot of talk about money and a whole lot of finger pointing and who doesn't do what. And it just seems, based on the conversation, that as the government, we're holding ourselves harmless, and we authorize everything that's built in the county. So we don't have anything to do with it, and I think that's in there. And second, even the things we know about, we can sit here and we say rah, rah, rah to infill and folks going back on 30 and 40 year plans and building new houses and give no consideration to the fact infill like that, generally more often than not, it causes somebody else's property to flood. But when neighbors and some of us scream about an infill project going on in our district, then the answer is, you know, it's never grandfathered, the sun never sets on it, And so by right, even though the record plan is 40, 50 years old, they can go back and build what they, the new owner can come back and build what they want to do. So while we're finger pointing, we need to point back at ourselves and look at some of the things that we can do to be innovative, creative, to help the situation as opposed to just complaining and finger pointing at others.
All right, anybody else? Well, thank you very much, Wayne. Okay. Do we have anything from the public? Or anything under other? Go ahead, Mr. Street. Then.
Mr. Chairman, admittedly, I'm out of order, but I raised this before, so I'm going to bother the president. The statue out front that I talked about like a month and a half ago, are we going to do anything with that, or are we going to have a discussion with the city? Because if you look across the street at Peter Spencer, that's what a statue is supposed to look like. And the one at Mr. Redden out front looked like that from the beginning. And when the city decided to bring it inside, try to keep it inside after they cleaned it up, that's how it looked before they put it back out there. It hadn't been touched since. I think it is improper.
Councilman, I looked into that and I spoke with the mayor's chief of staff, and he got a quote back for $19,000 to clean all the statues out front and then an annual maintenance fee.
And?
I do want a policy director. The policy, normally the procedure is there's a building committee that consists of people from special services. Okay. I used to be on the committee. I guess I'm not invited.
You can say something later.
Okay. I don't get the invitations anymore. And also,
you're better off.
Administrative services and public works in the city. They meet once a month, get together, go over, because we pay a certain percentage, they pay a certain percentage. But I think you're aware that around $19,000,
$20,000. I've
seen the email. For the number of statues there, I talked to the gentleman in passing the last couple of days from the city, and they're looking at it right now. Obviously, they're a little concerned because it's a little expensive. Also, there's been a concern that someone has to be addressed. The one statue we know is ours. The other statues, we're not sure are ours. There's always been a question, okay, of who within the courtyard, okay, has jurisdiction over that. A lot of times it's the state. As you notice, there's people out there. They maintain the grass and so on and so forth, and usually that's paid by the state. So that's an issue that has to be addressed also. The one is ours, the other one's we're not too sure. Okay.
Just call it the concert of statues, we can give money.
I'm sorry. Mr. Tree, go ahead.
Don't take this personal.
You don't take it.
I don't care. All I want to know is when, how we come to a resolution. Okay, at the end of the day, the former president of the city council came running in and said, well, we own the statue. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We voted, then the city voted, and to put it back outside, we split the cost. And all the statues need to be done. It costs $19,000. So what? Question is it going to be done, Mr. President? And to the city, or is it not going to be done?
I think that will be discussed at the next meeting of the building committee.
Okay. I got a question.
Do you want to respond? I mean,
we'll look into it.
You said that a month ago. 2 months.
I got a response. We'll look deeper.
You're looking deeper.
We'll look deeper this time.
Are these meetings? Just look deeper and find a way to split 19 G's.
Are these meetings open to the public?
Of course.
I'm talking about the building committee meetings. I mean, you're not invited, so I'm just wondering. If they're open to the public, we'd like to know when the next one is. Councilman Street and I are going to come visit. We'll go ask for money.
I will make sure you're invited.
Just make sure I know when it is. That'll be easier than getting us invited.
That's 2 meetings in a row we agreed on something. Let's get it done.
All right. Very good. We're working, like you said, we're working deeper and closer to getting some type of a consensus.
Okay.
conclusion. Anybody else from the public on the other? Not a motion for
motion
a
to
other.
Oh, other.
I was hoping that Councilman Cartier was here. The grand opening, Councilman Smiley was at the grand opening of the Claymont Library.
Council President was there too. I heard the Council President.
Council President was there. That's right. He's still up front. Remember that. We did have a little incident after that. It was a sewage issue, which we are taking care of. The contractor is dealing with on the long weekend to fix some pipes. So just in case anybody had problems, we're on top of that. Second, I sent to Councilman Bell one change in my last presentation, the long presentation on public safety. The increase from $25 to $46 million was in April of 2004, not 2005. So that was under the Gordon administration. Corrected the report and forward copies to Councilman Bell. And I came across after that, that was the interesting part, the actual ordinance, so we submitted that for the documents.
Well, I got one thing under talking about the big increase. That was your report on the public safety building and all?
Yes.
Well, you got to know how happy I was today to walk up to go to the TAPS meeting thinking about the multi-million dollar proposal to renovate, and we took a no-smoking sign, screwed it to a piece of wood, and drove it in the ground. Help me, please. So we don't need a million. We just need more lumber. And it was scrap lumber. It looked like a piece of a pallet.
I'll have to check.
At the entrance. Yeah, right at the entrance. Amazing. With that up.
Thank you. Wayne, yes. Whose fault was that with the sewer?
The contractor. They're preparing it.
On their cost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
We're here a second.
Second.
Okay, motion made. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Yeah, the contractor wasn't supposed to use a restroom. Hey.